we're trying to remain, Coley, as calm as possible and as professional as possible while we discuss the Erik Karlsson goal yesterday. No question to start with. Just your thoughts on what we saw last night in overtime between San Jose and St. Louis.
I spoke with Doug Armstrong. I spoke with the commissioner. Don't worry about being calm. I dealt with lots of situations. I dealt with Stephen Wacom today and last night, Kay Whitmore, the series supervisor. So I know what calm and not calm is. good morning, guys. Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. What was the question again?
I just there wasn't a question. I just wanted to open up, you know, wide open, you know, no specific question. Just wanted to get from your point of view as someone who's watched a million hockey games and seen a million scenarios. What did you see last night?
I wasn't like the goaltender who had his eyes on the puck. He saw it right away. When I saw the goalie's concern after the goal, I thought maybe he was interfered with. In the crease, someone caught his stick and he couldn't make the save. But you could tell clearly when you watch the replay, when you watch the replay, that he had his eyes on the puck. I didn't see any other St. Louis player recognize what happened immediately. And I saw the Vegas-Anaheim face-off. Everyone in our room did. We've all watched thousands of games in our room. We didn't see that happen immediately. We had to see the replay. The one thing you need to know here is that we've become so used to watching video replay, whether it's the surfer getting bit by the shark. Who's taking that video? We see all kinds of video these days. And in sports, we see it again. And we come to believe it, particularly the fan and the watcher and the passionate people who want to win so bad at this time of year. They see the replay on great high definition. Go back and watch a game in not high definition, see how hard it is. But in high definition, with many camera views, and when you see it, you can't understand how four officials can't see it. Well, this game is really fast. Bob Murray wasn't a real big fan of officials. He went down behind the bench this year, first time ever. He could not believe how big and fast the game was. And I'm trying to cut these guys slack, but I'm also trying to understand where we're at with video review. How much do we need and where do we go with video review today? It means so much in the playoffs and so much in each game, and particularly in overtime, the game's over. And particularly in a game seven, the series is over. One team moves on, one team doesn't. There's millions of dollars at stake. There's passion, not the ability to win the Stanley Cup. You've been trying to chase your whole life. Doug Armstrong for the St. Louis Blues is trying to get St. Louis back in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's been, 40-some-odd years. So what can we do? As I told a number of people who I've talked to today, like 2 million people saw that in 30 seconds last night who are watching the game, let's say. But there's only four people who didn't see it, and the most important four people. It's hard. So and we can extend it. Do we call penalties with video review now that end up in goals? Where do we go? And when it's not like we just start talking today about this or start talking the playoffs. I approached the managers in March and I said, guys, we've been dealing with this. We were one of the first leagues to have video review, first league to have a situation room. The other leagues came to Toronto to look at what we have. We saw what happened in the semifinal game to the Super Bowl between New Orleans and L.A. I told the managers, is there a way we can prevent that happening in our game? Can we do something with video review to help us avoid that? There's so many eyes on it today. And where do we go? How do we go? And there was no real answer. We had the puck hit the net 8 years ago, dropped down with 2 seconds left in the game, hit the back of the goalie, go in the net with 2 seconds left, and they tie up the game. And, of course, they win in overtime. So we discussed that and at the manager's meeting in length, and we said, where do we go with that? And they said, well, you guys are going to have to – you can call that added to video review, and it's got to be immediate. I said, that's fine, guys, but that's still too general. What is immediate? Is it 3 steamboats or is it 4 steamboats? Well, whatever you think. I said, no, not whatever we think. because you're going to get to a key moment in the game, and coaches are crazy when it comes to detail, and they should be. So I said, like, what happens? I said, so we got down to the puck hits the goalie and goes in the net, or if it goes directly to a player and Anthony Stewart gets the puck and scores, that's no goal. But if Anthony passes it to John Shannon and he scores, then that's not immediate. So that it worked. You know, not too many people knew the rule, but when it happened this year, it doesn't happen often, hardly ever happens, but when it does, we call it Murphy's Law, or mostly in our room, we call it Mike Murphy's Law. It will happen. So that's a little bit. I could talk forever, but okay,
but so Coley, that what you're talking about is what I was talking about earlier, was Rule 38-4, a good hockey goal. And is there? I mean, there would have been no way last night with the perceived hand pass, getting the puck to Carlson, sure looked immediate to me to be able to call that a good hockey goal.
Well, John, we could start calling that next year game one. I don't think I would use that card in the third round of a playoff. I'm not so sure San Jose would appreciate it if we use that rule for the first time in that game, even though it would have been correct that was the wrong call. I mean, it should have been a whistle if the referee had seen a lie. So, right. Yes, you could probably use that, but I think it has to be discussion, and there's lots of talk. You know, as I said, I talked to a lot of people. They do you give a coach two more challenges? People say, we don't want to slow the game down. You know, do you give him challenges and attach a 2-minute penalty? Do you let the Toronto Situation Room, who has a referee in it for every game, do you let Toronto jump in and make that call when they think they got to make a wrong into a right?
But in your system, that would not been a situation where a challenge would be allowed, because it was in either an overtime or in the last minute of play. So this would have been up to the situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we used our the same procedure we used with offside and goaltender interference.
Right. Right.
Yes.
From a philosophical point of view, Coley, there's a couple of different ways we can go with this one. And one of them, you know, and this is, you know, the knee jerk that we saw last night on social media that bleeds into talk radio today. and that is expand video review. And there's always the, you know, mentioned Mike Murphy's law, the law of unintended consequences. Here we are once upon a time, Matt Duchene goes offside, and now we're measuring pixels on Gabriel Landeskog, whether he's in the offensive zone or whether he's touched things up. What I'm getting at here is this game now has moved from a game of inches to a game of pixels. So we can go one of two ways on this one. It can either be expand video review, or, and I would submit this one to you, why are hand passes illegal in the offensive zone? Has there been much discussion about saying, listen, look at Timo Meier on that play. I would make the argument that he's not trying to pass it to Nyquist. He's a left-hand shot. He's trying to swipe at the puck as he's knocking the puck down. I think that's what Timo Meier is doing. And I say to myself, that is still a skill play. Why not just allow hand passes?
Well, one of the many conversations I've had since this happened last night was with Jaromir Kerkelainen, who had brought that up at the manager's meeting, and one of the reasons was if you don't allow hand passes all over the ice, don't allow them, and then that's how a team stops playing their own zone when they're under pressure. So you allow them in your own zone. But the reason you didn't allow them, I guess, I wasn't around when they first made that rule, but I would assume it is because you've got issues around the net. The puck could go in the net. That's not the way to score a goal with your hand, or help not score a goal with your hand, but hand pass it over to a teammate. You know, are they going to use their hands more? Like, you look at the faceoff. I forget who the player was. He started going down on his knees and taking the draw with his hands.
Yeah.
Unintended circumstances, consequences. Are they going to start using their hands more to move the puck around? Who knows? It was too vague for us to go to that, but we have discussed that. And that's just one item. What's going to happen next? Is it going to be a high stick to an opponent that we should have looked at that the referees missed? Is it going to be, I don't know, what haven't we talked about? Could happen yet.
I'll throw one. And this came on sort of the heels of the offside review. I'm surprised there hasn't been more of a hue and cry on dump-ins. Hold on a second. Did he get center before there was a dump-in? Like, to your point, how many events do we go back before a
goal.
I
agree. What are we going to do when we have an icing that was called wrong and they go and have a face-off in their own zone and score right off the face-off? How far do we go back on that dump in on that icing? And again, how do coaches use these new rules? You know they're going to use it to their benefit any way they can use it. We talked about imposing a rule where a goalie freezes a puck if the guy dumps it in this side of the blue line. But then we started watching it in the playoffs, and there's some tough calls if you make the goalie play the puck and do you apply a no change or a penalty. Like you're trying to make the game better all the time. You don't know, you know, the great phrase is unintended consequences.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? What coach is going to take that rule and play with it? Do you give the coach a challenge or apply a 2-minute penalty? How far do we go? Do we start making calls from our room on penalties, or do we undo penalties, or do we add penalties? It's not something that we haven't thought about or talked about. It just seems last night it's so unfair that the game ended that way, the wrong way, and how do you correct it? And we keep beating it up, we keep trying, and here we are today.
I don't want to seem insensitive with this question. We know there's a lot of great veteran referees, and the game's getting a lot younger and faster. Is the league looking at possibly taking the same approach with regards to the refs?
As soon as you knock John Shannon off that desk beside you and replace him, we'll replace the old referees, Anthony.
I'm not sure that's a compliment, or I'm not sure what it is. But he's bigger than me.
You know, we knocked out our best referee. I'll put it this way, not our best referee, but our most experienced referee. And he's a good referee. His career will come to an end at the end of next season. And it's Dan O'Halloran, and he made a tough call. He's done the most playoff games, the most finals of any referee working now. And he got knocked out of the playoffs in the first round because of the Vegas San Jose call, non-call or overcall. So there are things in place for those officials. And I know the game's fast, and it's tough to replace experience with speed. I think you're doing the same thing with players. I mean, you look at Boston, they've got some good, young, fast, talented players, but they're also leaning on the Charas and the Bergerons. And look at, you know, who's one of the more experienced players and better players. You got Thornton, who had a great night last night. Last time I looked, I think he's closing in on 40. So I don't really, you know, I'm not concerned about the age of our officials and the speed of the game. The speed of the game is fast for everybody now.
Do you think there's a final question for you, and it's about officials, and you mentioned Dan O'Halloran, and you're right, one of the most senior, veteran, you know, established officials in the game, and we saw the Cody Eakin play, of course. Do you find that sort of sent a chill around officials in the NHL that, as opposed to erring on the side of caution, oh my goodness, there's a player on the ice and he's bleeding and it's a head injury, we have to throw something significant here at the player, and it ends up being a 5-minute penalty. Do you find that sent the chill, the fact that pair of officials didn't move on? Because, man, I look at, you know, the Charlie McAvoy hit and I say to myself, it's a 2-minute penalty. It's a pretty clear shot to the head. I wonder if it went from being overly sensitive to underly sensitive all in one round.
Again, a good question. We've talked about that. I think the fact that for years I've gotten the same question, where is the accountability for officials? Players, coaches, managers don't perform, lose, they get fired. What happens to an official? Just leaves and he works the next game. Our answer is they don't move on in the playoffs. No, we don't fire them.
Yeah.
It's a judgment call, or they make a mistake, and what they call it, they don't see it. And after a while, you know, they eventually get out of the business if they can't perform. But they don't move on in the playoffs. They don't get playoff games. The other guys work better than them. You got to find. There's got to be a barometer to choose who moves on and who doesn't move on. And Anthony knows that as a player, it doesn't quite work. You know, the star player can make 10 mistakes. Anthony couldn't make one mistake, and he'd be on the pine. But with officials, they're all the same. If they make mistakes, then unfortunately, you know, they don't move on, and that is their yardstick that we measure them by. And so when something like that happens, we're all watching. They know. But it's like I said, I was coaching in the game where Vanny Van Helden made the mistake of Joe Sakic scored on the play, and he reversed a call and called a penalty. And I said to the officials, having lived that with Andy was arguably the best referee ever in the game. And he made a mistake, and I said, it's tough for officials. You can have a great career in just one call or non-call in a big game, mm-hmm. can color your career. So it's tough, and I think, you know, Stephen Wacom had one of those situations in Chicago on a call where it went against Chicago, and then they scored in overtime. And he said, I was the first guy I wanted to pile on Seabrook when he scored. You know, I was happy they scored. So he had a good career, but it's tough. It's tough in the playoffs when you get these situations where they're under the gun like other guys, and there's so much. You know, and I think it's the same in all sports now. You know, with the video review and the talk and social media and the pressure these guys have, they earn every dollar they make.